Welcome back to another episode of LNS TV. On this episode, we got a special breakdown of the NBA offseason rumors, trade deals, free agent signings, a whole bunch of stuff to get into. It's going to be super exciting. A lot of fun things to talk about. A lot of things to speculate for the future. And you know what? Let's just get right into it. So first things first, to get us started, we got some rookie extensions to go over. I'm going to hand it off to Zach. He's going to talk a little bit about those. We had a couple of big-name rookies, or big-name people still on their rookie contracts.
Yep.
Re-signing, so.
Yeah, so just to go over the big names, Jason Tatum signed for 5 years, 195. Bam Adebayo, 5 years, 163. Donovan Mitchell's 5 years, 195. De'Aaron Fox, 5 years, 163. Brandon Ingram, who was a restricted free agent with the Pelicans, 5 years, 158. So out of the names that I've just read off, do you guys want to talk about any in particular?
I think Bam. He was a key player for the Heat, you know.
Yep.
He was a good slot, you know. So it was good to see him. That the Heat definitely trust him to have another good year. It wasn't just like a fluke or whatever, you know. So, were you guys getting any other ones? That was the one that stand out to me.
Well, as much as it pains me to praise the Duke guy, being being a Carolina fan, but honestly, Jason Tatum, dude's a stud.
Yeah,
bona fide. Dude can play. I think he'll sign for a lot of money once he gets off his rookie extension. I think there's no doubt about that. Whether he stays with the Celtics after his rookie extension, I mean, I'm sure they want to build around him. They've been working for that. I think this dude's definitely, he could be on the way for a future MVP down the road for sure. So
he's got the talent.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
So the guy that stuck out to me out of this list is De'Aaron Fox. And not so much just of his name or the fact that he goes to Kentucky. I know he's your boy, but I think he's on the Sacramento Kings, and I think it's an interesting spot that the Kings are in, right? Because no offense to De'Aaron Fox, but I don't think he's on the level of the other guys on this list. He's still a great player, still has a ton of potential. He'll probably be an all-star at some point.
Yeah,
but it is like, if you're the Kings, you're probably, I mean, you're not going to attract any free agents. And the chances of you landing a guy like him in the draft is pretty slim, especially with the Kings, because not exactly the most well-run franchise.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting that you got a guy like De'Aaron Fox who you're going to have to pay, because it's not like anyone's going to Sacramento.
No.
Even if he's not, I don't want to say he's not worth the money, because you're always worth what someone's willing to pay you, but he's not on the level of these other guys. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a solid addition to any team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely any team that is needing a good guard, De'Aaron Fox is probably one of the better ones in the league to pick up. That said, I mean, Sacramento has had a history of trading away stars and stars leaving. So we saw that with Boogie Cousins and seen that with a bunch of other good players. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of his career plays out. I don't think he'll stay with Sacramento, because not many people do.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're coming off that rookie contract, it's hard to say no to $163 million.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And the name that you brought up, Christian Bam Adebayo, the one thing I want to touch with him is, does this say anything about, and I know we're going to talk about the Bucks and Giannis a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
We also talk about Giannis quite a lot.
We do.
But Bam Adebayo just got all this money from Miami. Does that mean they think that Giannis is staying in Milwaukee? I don't know, but I do find it curious that they gave him all this money whenever they know that Giannis is going to be a free agent in about a year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think the Heat were listed as a big target for Giannis to go to, but
I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen. But,
yeah, it definitely still can, but it's there's only so much money to go around. I do want to just bring a little attention to Donovan Mitchell, who we don't really talk about much on this podcast, but dude is, he's a perennial all-star right now.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that you could foreseeably, if the Jazz have a good, really good year, get another couple pieces, he's another guy that could start competing for the MVP. I mean, he single-handedly almost beat the Nuggets in the playoffs. He and Jamal Murray went toe-to-toe every night in the games in that series. dude's a great player. He's worth, I think, every penny of that contract.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. So. One other thing, Brandon Ingram, he started out his NBA career a little shaky on and off, mm-hmm. but this past year was a big year for him, and I think that played a deciding factor. But overall, I agree with what y'all have said so far, especially with the Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, dude can play. Dude can play.
Yeah, so you guys want to add anything else?
No, I mean, if we want to get over to the actual bulk of the offseason, yep. I think we should do it.
Okay, well, we've come up with a list and a breakdown of some of the teams that had very notable off seasons, and I think we want to start with the 76ers, just because they didn't do too much in the free agent market, but they did acquire Danny Green and Seth Curry by trade, which, of course, not stars, but really, really good role players. Obviously, Danny Green has been had a little shade on his name recently, but at the end of the day, he still is a solid NBA player. He's a good defender. If he gets his percentages back up to his normal career 3-point percentage, I mean, he's probably going to be able to provide a lot for the Sixers. And Seth Curry, I mean, he's a Curry, so he can shoot.
It's in his genes.
Mm-hmm.
And they also brought in Dwight Howard, which we saw last year. He still has a lot left in the tank, I think. Mm-hmm. And for the role he's going to play, backing up Joel Embiid, he's not going to have to be taxed and be a starter. So I think he has a lot that he can bring to the table for the Sixers.
I agree, definitely. And also to touch on the Sixers, they had a lot of front office management kind of things happen. They picked up Doc Rivers as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Morey is their general manager. Those are two like perennial names, huge names in the NBA community. And it brought a lot of speculation about maybe the 76ers trying to ship James Harden in a trade to them sometime in the year. And, that's not out of the realm of possibility anymore. Obviously, it looks like James Harden will still be on the Rockets. We've brought it up in previous podcasts. We've talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So honestly, right now, all we have to do is wait and see what happens there. I do really like Dwight Howard in this team. I think he fits in really well. I think honestly, he's a better fit than Al Horford was.
Absolutely, I agree.
I think another big piece like Al Horford was would have been good for the 76ers, but he just didn't really work in well with their offense. And I think Dwight Howard coming in off the bench as a role player, maybe a sometimes starter, save Embiid gets hurt because his health has been an issue. I think it's a great pickup for them because this dude can still play, and this dude is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you said, Dwight Howard and Embiid, I mean, that's just a great duo to have underneath. But just like you said, he wanted to go back to the Lakers, he said. He just felt like he wanted to get paid. But, of course, I mean, when the Lakers have the options they have and the people they can bring in, I mean. But I think the future for Dwight Howard, like you said, is bright coming off a ring. Still has some game in him. Still has some life in him, just like we saw last year. Danny Green coming in, Seth Curry. I mean, 76ers, they did a good job, in my opinion. But which team were you looking at next?
Well, do we want to give him a grade? Off-season grade?
Oh, yes. Yeah, let's do that. I got to give him an A. I don't – because if you look at where they were, I believe, a sixth seed.
Uh-huh.
And now they're, in my opinion, going to shoot up all the way between 1-4. So – and now they have the – they're always going to have that chip in their back pocket of – do we want to ship Ben Simmons to Houston for James Harden?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like they're ready to do that right now, but either way, Danny Green and Seth Curry both fit Ben Simmons really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And James Harden, but especially Ben Simmons because he can't shoot and he's a passer. So when you get 3-point shooters around him, he's going to be most successful.
Yeah.
So that's why I think I have to give him an A, because just looking at the landscape, I don't think any team in the East has improved through the free agent and, in their case, trades. I don't think a team in the East has improved like they have, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go B+. I really wanted to see James Harden and Ben Simmons. I think they should have gone for it more, but just like you said, I completely respect their lineup, but I think I would have given them a full A if they were going for that trade, but just like I said, I mean, they have a lot of success coming their way. So,
yeah,
they're still good to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I mean, like you guys both said, they had a really productive offseason.
Yeah.
I think for a grade, I'm going to give them an A minus.
Okay.
I think they definitely fall into the realm of a really good offseason. Christian, like you brought up, bringing in James Harden would have really changed, you know, their whole personnel. Because I still think, I agree. I think they'll jump up in anywhere between 1 to 4, but I still don't think they're past the point of beating the Bucks yet. And I think a lot of that rides on whether or not Joel Embiid can stay healthy for the duration of the year. You know, there's a bunch of other factors. I think they had a really – this free agency, at least, as of right now, is really going to help them come into that more contention, because they've stayed around that 4, 5, 6 area for the past couple of years, mm-hmm. which has certainly been an improvement from what they were. But I'm giving them A-minus because I still think they're just a little bit below that one seed, but still a great offseason for the 76ers.
Absolutely.
So, staying in the East, I want to move to the Atlanta Hawks. Mm-hmm. I think they had an extremely productive offseason, to be honest with you guys. They signed Danilo Gallinari. He is 32 years old. They gave him a 3-year contract worth $61.5 million. It's a lot of money, but he's an 18 a game for his career scorer. So, then they brought in a veteran, we all know, Rajon Rondo. Mm-hmm. 2 years, $15 million, and I don't think anyone, after seeing what he did in the postseason, is going to complain about having that guy mentor Trae Young.
Oh, yeah.
So they brought in Chris Dunn, who's was a good defensive guard, 2 years, $10 million. And the big, big, big acquisition, in my opinion, Bogdan Bogdanović. This dude is an absolute sniper. They gave him 4 years, $72 million, excuse me, $18 million per. And he's worth every single penny. Don't be discouraged by his numbers. He's a 37% this past season three-point shooter, but he takes 7 of them a game. If this dude has open looks, he is going to knock them down. He was playing with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Kings aren't very good. I think this Hawks team, you added a 15-a-game guy in Bogdan Bogdanović. You had Young last year, who was an all-star. And then you have Danilo Gallinari, who's an 18-a-game. And then you're going to have Rajon Rondo and Chris Dunn in the back, who could be good defensive guards. And the only guy that they lost of note is Jeff Teague. So I think they had a great offseason.
I mean, yeah, you look at their plus and minuses, who they brought in, who they had to let go, of course, Jeff Teague. But, I mean, you look at who's already there, just like you said. And all these people they brought in just fit well. I don't see anyone that's out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also another thing. They're getting good players that will fit into their program. So definitely a win for them. What do you think?
No, totally. I think they had a great offseason. I mean, you think about it, Trae Young is known for his shooting. And, you know, whether or not the stats are there, he's known. He's got range. He can make it. He's like Steph Curry, where you got to respect him shooting. He can make it from anywhere on the court.
Yep, absolutely.
And you bring in another shooter in Bogdanović, who also takes some shots. I think that actually helps out Trae Young to where he now realizes, hey, I don't need to take these miracle shots anymore. I've got other people that can knock these shots down. I think that's a really good acquisition. Same with Gallinari. Dude's another reliable mm-hmm. scorer. That's the thing the Hawks are missing. They were a really young team, not a lot of veteran leadership. Now you're getting these veteran players in Gallinari, Rondo, and I mean, these people it's going to help them out a lot because you're getting scores as well. Rondo, as the veteran leader of the team, he might be able to manage the point guard position, let Trae Young work more mm-hmm. shooting guard.
Yep.
And, I mean, I just think this works out really well for the development of Trae Young, works out really well for the Hawks. And, I mean, I'm agreeing with you guys. It's hard not to like what they did in the offseason. Losing Jeff Teague, I mean, I know he was one of their, you know, all-star players for a couple of years, but he's older now.
Mm-hmm.
He's past his prime. It's not a bad loss.
Yeah, not at all.
So, I thought it was a really, really good offseason. Any other notes you guys want to talk about with the Hawks? Or
well, before we give them a grade, mm-hmm. I do want to say that offensively, as we've kind of covered, they're going to be extremely tough to stop.
Yep.
Defensively, might leave a little bit left to be desired, but they're going to be tough to stop. They might score 120 points a game. So, overall, the grade that I would give them, I would still give these guys probably an A+, actually, because I think they jumped all the way from being one of the worst teams in the league to I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. So all the scoring they added and the depth and the leadership with Rondo and what Rondo could do for Bogdanovich and Trae Young, I think they did a great job.
Absolutely. The one thing I looked at is they're opening up opportunities for their studs that are already on the team. So for that reason, I'm giving them a solid A-plus as well because they're just bringing in people to help Trae Young. So, I mean, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love it when a team knows how to build around their players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hawks have gotten a lot of crap for being not one of the best organizations. But I think this offseason is really, really huge in turning around that thought. I'm going to give them an A because I think this offseason really was all about building around Trae Young. I think they did that extremely well. Yep. So,
yeah. I agree.
Very successful offseason for the Hawks here.
Okay, well, to the top of the food chain in the East, I want to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, a lot has been made about what is Giannis going to do. He has until December 21st to sign the Supermax extension. Now, they added Drew Holiday, who's an absolute fantastic player. He's a great defender. He can create his own shot. They got him in a trade. They traded Eric Bledsoe and George Hill, a couple other players, and 5 draft picks. They gave up about the same package that the Lakers gave up for Anthony Davis. So they made this trade thinking, we have to keep Giannis. And I'm not sure. Before I get into the whole Giannis thing,
mm-hmm.
they brought in Bobby Portis for 2 years. They kept Pat Connaughton for 3 years, $16 million. Torrey Craig. They brought in DJ Augustine, who's a good little player, for 3 years, 21. They are losing Wes Matthews.
Is that a joke about his height?
No. He's a solid player. They're losing Wes Matthews, and they're losing Brooke Lopez's brother, Robin Lopez. But I don't – the question I want to throw out to you guys, because the Bucks did miss out on Bogdanovich, which I think is huge. Bogdanovich was supposed to go to the Bucks in a sign-and-trade, but it fell through because free agency didn't start, and somehow they agreed to sign-and-trade, which is not legal under tampering rules. So that fell through, and I think that's a big deal. But the question I want to ask you guys is, with these moves that I've laid out here, is this enough for Giannis to sign the Supermax and stay in Milwaukee?
That's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I think they got better. I think getting Drew Holiday was a huge addition. I mean, I think we'd known the Bucks were missing out on like a really solid third player, because having Giannis and Chris Middleton as the like only two All-Stars on the team is kind of, it puts a lot of pressure on these. And Chris Middleton did not have a great playoff. I think adding in Drew Holiday will really help him out, but losing out on the Bogdanovich was huge.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you want to keep a superstar generational player, those are the deals you gotta make, and you can't have those stupid tampering rules get in the way of that. You know, you can't have those silly mistakes in the front office. And we've talked about it before, and how to keep Giannis is going to take a lot, and you know, Giannis is obviously worth that. If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm a little disappointed with this offseason. I think we got better, but I'm a little worried for our future.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this has now turned into like a win now kind of team.
For sure. Yep.
So
I don't see really that deciding factor that's just like you hear the news and you're like, okay, he's staying. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
They did, just like you said, they did get better, but there wasn't that big like spark or that big moment where everyone's just like, oh my goodness, this is the guy. Like Holiday, absolutely great, you know, Portis and everything. But like, you know, I didn't see the big guy that they needed. I think he's gone. And just because it was out in the air and then they did not bring in like a huge name, like that big of a name, you know, I think he's gone.
Also, Wes Matthews going to the Lakers is kind of
It's tough.
It's going literally to your competition mm-hmm. for a championship. And it's almost a slap in the face to Giannis.
Yeah, like, that's really the other thing.
Yeah, I think if they would have been able to pull off Bogdan, I could see him taking the contract. Because if we, like I said, we've talked about Giannis a whole lot. And we kind of all agreed that with the way things were trending, it looked like he was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Things have kind of flipped a little bit. There is a chance he stays now more than I think there was, like, let's say 2 weeks ago.
For sure.
Yep.
Is Drew Holiday enough? It's tough to say. It really is tough to say. I think there's a better chance because he's still maybe not an all-star, but he's still a very, very good player. I guess we'll see. I don't think he's going to sign it before November 21st. December 21st. I think it will have to wait and see how this team plays in the regular season and in the postseason. I think that's going to be the determining factor. If they would have got Bogdan, I could see Giannis signing before the December 21st deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think he wants to see how the season plays out, which if you're the Bucks, you're sweating. Yeah. You know, that's not what you want to hear.
Tremendously.
So,
I mean, you gave up a lot of your assets that you could use to bring another player for Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. So what do you guys have for grades? Christian, what do you think for...
I'm going to go B minus because there's some hope. So I didn't put them out of C, but at the same time, they didn't do enough to even come close to an A. So I'm on the more disappointed side, but not completely disappointed because there is still a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, B minus for me. What do you guys got?
It's a very, very tough question. I'm going to give him probably just a B. If they would have got Bogdanović, I'd give him an A plus. Because not only would that get their team better, but I think you would have kept Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
But a solid B. They didn't hit a home run, but they did get better. So
yeah,
I agree. I'm going to be a little more skeptical. I'm going to give them a C plus.
Wow.
And I say C plus because they did get better. I think we can all agree they improved. I think it's not out of the realm to say that they're probably the favorite for number one, as they have been for the past couple years.
Yep.
But if I'm the Bucks, I'm worried about the draft picks that we lost out. I'm worried about it that we lost out on Bogdan. I'm worried about a lot of things, and that's not really what you want to have when you're going into the last year on the contract for Giannis. You wanted to minimize your worries, and yet here you are. I believe as a Bucks fan, you're sweating.
You know, for sure.
It was productive in the sense you got better, but I'm worried for the future. So that's why I'm giving them a C plus.
Yeah. Overall, like we said, I agree with both of you, but I do think it is maybe a little bit, if you're a Bucks fan, you can take a little bit of satisfaction in the fact that would the Bucks have given up that much for Drew Holiday if they didn't think Giannis was gonna stay? So, but once again, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys good on the Bucks?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So moving into the West, a team that we talked about on the last podcast, the Phoenix Suns. They picked up Chris Paul, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Also Abdel Nader in both trades. They retained Dario Saric for 3 years, $27 million. They picked up Langston Galloway. Picked up Damian Jones. They retained Javon Carter. And their biggest signing of the offseason, they got Jay Crowder from the Miami Heat for 3 years, $29 million. So they did lose Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio, but for Chris Paul, anyone would do it.
Yeah.
So the big, I shouldn't say only, but the big and their really only huge addition was Jay Crowder. And no, he's not a big name, but he's a good 3-and-D player. And in the West, when you're going to have to go up against guys like Kawhi and LeBron and Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and all these kind of guys, you need a guy who's going to be able to defend wings. So I think Jay Crowder was a pretty good pickup. I'm not sure he'll be able to do what he did in Miami last year, but it was a very, very shrewd operation pickup. So,
yeah, I mean, I think we can. Suns got better.
Absolutely,
and it's really promising to see them like with the Hawks try and build around Devin Booker because I mean, dude's one of the best players in the NBA right now. He took the Suns on their back in the bubble, went 8-0. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things like, yo, why are you guys not trying to build around it? Why are you guys just liking to deal in this mediocrity?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris Paul is a great addition. He showed himself last year how he could still play. A bit of a revitalization for his career.
Mm-hmm.
I also like getting Jay Crowder. Like you said, dude's a very physical player, and in a league where it's become a very physical league in the West, it's a good player to have. He's played with LeBron. He's played against LeBron. I mean, it's nice to have at least some experience playing against him. It's not like there's any one way that you can defend against LeBron, but it's always nice to have that. I thought this was a very good offseason for them, but I mean, Christian, what else do you got?
Devin Booker, Kentucky native, 24 years young. Guy's an absolute stud. But
it is.
Chris Paul for, you know, Rubio and Oubre. I like it. I mean, yeah. You know, Chris Paul is 35, but last year, just like you said, brought his career back kind of into the spotlight of, okay, this guy's still playing like he's pretty much young, you know?
Yeah.
Not in his prime, but I mean,
still a star.
He's hanging in there, yep. Still a star. Just like you said, Crowder, I mean, they had a lot of moves to build around Devin Booker and Chris Paul now. So I'm loving it. I love that duo. I think they're going to be great together. I see everyone on here just team players. Haven't heard anything about any of these names in a bad way. So chemistry is going to be there, of course, which I always look at because, you know, the Nets. But, I like the situation. I love it.
Yeah.
I've been a big Suns fan.
We talked about the Suns quite a bit on the last podcast, so I think we can give them grades. So, Josh, what do you grade them?
I really like this offseason for him. It was really good. But again, the West is a really competitive conference, and I don't know if they got all the pieces they needed. I think they'll make the playoffs. So I'm giving them a solid B+.
I just have to go A- because it's not officially to the A or A+ range for me, but it's not a B. But I'm loving the build around Devin Booker, and I think they're going to get to the playoffs.
So. Yeah, I'm also going to go with B+. It was a good off season, but they didn't do anything to. They're not going to contend for a title. No. I think they'll make the playoffs, but they're not going to contend for a title.
Yeah.
So
it's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that is going to be a big factor in keeping Devin Booker if they want to. So yeah. Which they want to.
I'm giving anyone an A range, A- A or A+ that builds people around their main player in order to keep them, because I respect that. So that's why I gave him an A-.
Yeah. My thinking is I think they had a good start. They didn't do it to the extent that the Hawks did, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And Chris Paul, great player. So,
yeah. So moving up to the top of the West now, got the LA Clippers.
You sure they're still at the top of the West?
We'll get into it. Get into it. They brought in Luke Kennard in a trade. They traded away Landry Shamet. They retained Patrick Patterson on a 1-year veteran minimum.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Marcus Morris to a 4-year, $64 million contract. That is a massive contract to give a guy. I'm not sure he's worth that. And then with their mid-level exception, they were able to lure Serge Ibaka, which I think is a very good pickup, and especially since they did lose Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers, and he's going to be his replacement. Before I give my opinions on it, do you guys have anything you want to add on the Clippers?
I mean, honestly, I think this was an okay offseason. There wasn't anything too notable, if we're being honest, in the way that they gained. If anything, I think it was very noticeable in the losses they had. Montrezl Harrell, second place, sixth man of the year, always great, great player. Losing him is, I think, almost detrimental to their team chemistry. And it's hard to...
Well, they didn't have very good chemistry in the first place.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, what little that they had, it's like when you look at that and you see one of the hardest players on the court who goes signs literally with the team in the opposite locker room with the Lakers. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I think that raised a lot of questions. It's kind of like, nah. I mean, I think that overall it was kind of a good offseason in the way that they were able to retain a decent amount of their players and Marcus Morris, but I think they overpaid him.
Yeah, big time.
Serge Ibaka bringing him was probably the best kind of like residual measure to make sure that they didn't lose out completely on the physicality of Montrezl Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Kennard, I like him as a player. He's a good shooter. He has spent a lot of time in Detroit. As we know, Detroit's where careers go to die, so hopefully we have a little bit of a revitalization here. I think it was an okay offseason, But the loss of Montrezl Harrell is really huge, I think, in the scheme of this team. So, Christian, I don't know which.
I got a couple things to say. When you get rid of the sixth man of the year, it's always questionable. I like Montrezl Harrell's physicality because you look at the guy and you're kind of scared. So, I mean, Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers, that's huge. Morris overpaid. So, I don't really have a lot positive to say about them, but that's what I got.
Well, I think Luke Kennard's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Morris, 4 years, $64 million. That's way too much money.
Yeah.
And listen, we said all these things, though. We said that Montrezl Harrell was going to leave. Didn't think he was going to go to the Lakers. But we did say he was going to leave. And we did say they were going to have to keep Marcus Morris. I do want to talk a little bit about the Serge Ibaka fit. Because he is a stretch five. He is a good player. He has the reputation of being a very good defender.
Mm-hmm.
And from that perspective, I think he brings something that Montrezl Harrell... And we're going to talk a little bit about Montrezl Harrell's defense when we get to the Lakers. But what Serge Ibaka brings is he's a center who's about 7 feet tall or almost 7 feet tall. He can stretch the floor. He can defend a guy like Jokic or Anthony Davis way better than Montrezl Harrell could. So from that perspective, I do think it is it's a much better fit than Montrez, especially defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give you the offensive production that Montrezl Harrell gave you. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he went from... he was a 15-point-a-game guy in Toronto. He might be 8 to 10 now just because he's going to be the, like, fifth or sixth option on that team.
Yeah.
So, overall, I think it might be a better fit than Montrezl Harrell, but he's not a better player. Mm-hmm. There's people talking about how he's a better player than Harrell. He's not. Mm-hmm. Good defensively, and he will help them there, but I don't want to say they've had a bad offseason, but they haven't had a good one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
I think I know where my grade is with them. Like, you just summed it up. I think you summed it up perfectly. They didn't have a bad offseason, but it wasn't good. And where does that stand them? At the average. Thirsty.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I think it says a lot. You know, it's not good, not bad. Just, you know, they retained and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But they also got a couple pieces. I'm going to give them a C.
I'm going to go C minus. It's bold, but they overpaid. So, yeah. Overpaid for a guy that's worse than Montrezl Harrell. So,
yeah.
I'm going C minus. Not a D. C minus.
Well, on the night of free agency, when they lost Montrezl Harrell, and they paid Marcus Morris 4 years, $64 million, I would have gave him an F.
Yeah.
Bringing in Serge Ibaka, because of the fit, I'll bump him all the way up to like a B minus. So a little bit better than you guys have him. But it doesn't move the needle for them.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I know we're about to talk about the Lakers, but it doesn't make them... The Lakers are already the best team in the league, and bringing in Serge Ibaka doesn't make them any closer, in my opinion. I think they're about the same as they were last year. Because you're adding a little bit with Ibaka on defense, but you're also losing a little bit on offense by losing Montrezl Harrell. So that's why I'm giving him a B minus.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, yeah. I hear you.
All right, well, on to the Los Angeles Lakers, the team who, I don't know about you guys, I think they won the offseason. They traded for Dennis Schroeder. I mean, guy who was second in the sixth man of the year voting and averaged 19 a game off the bench, and they only had to give up Danny Green in the 28th pick. Yeah. Say that's a pretty good trade. They brought in Wes Matthews with their biannual exception. We said that was going to happen, and it did. And then the big surprise, like we talked about already, they brought Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers with their mid-level exception. He took a lot less money. I think he had... I want to say like 60 to 70 million on the table from the Hornets, but he turned it down to go to the Lakers. They brought back KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, for 3 years, 40 mil. It's probably a little bit of an overpay in my opinion. But they lost Avery Bradley and they lost Rondo, so they kind of had to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And then a very, very good pickup in Mark Gasol, where you're replacing Dwight Howard and you're replacing JaVale McGee. They brought in Alfonso McKinney, in the JaVale McGee trade. And then they got Marcus Morris's brother, Markieff Morris, on the 1-year veteran minimum. And I don't know about you guys, but if you had to ask me, would I take Markieff or Marcus? Marcus making 64 and Markieff making the veteran minimum. I think I'm going to take Markieff.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, Anthony Davis has not re-signed yet, but he will.
Yeah, I think so. That's not out of the realm of
what's going to happen. He will re-sign.
I mean, yeah, this was a great offseason for the Lakers. I they won it. Yeah, I think it's not hard to say that they definitely won the offseason. I mean, if you look at Montrezl Harrell, won the Sixth Man of the Year award. I might have said he got second place earlier in the pod. He won it last year. Had 18.6 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're adding him in, as well as Marcus Gasol, to play their bigs. I think that really helps to stretch the floor for Anthony Davis. I think it really helps him and Davis be able to utilize his skills in the mid-range game and his ability to shoot the three. While also having, I mean, it's just, they have now so many different weapons. It would take us 5 hours to go through every single possibility of what they can do.
Yeah.
I can keep listing the combos and everything. I mean, you got Dennis Schroeder on the wing who can shoot the three by almost 40%. This was a really good pickup. I mean, Wes Matthews, another good pickup. Took him from the Bucks, and I think that might play a little bit in the whole Giannis sweepstakes, as we said mm-hmm. before. The Lakers' ability to just get all these players,
it's true.
It's crazy. And I know I know the rest of the league is starting to be like, oh gosh, here we go again. It's the Warriors all over again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Lakers, they want to win, and they're doing a heck of a job to get there.
Yeah.
So I also do want to mention with KCP, 3 years for $40 million. Is a little pricey. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude he's a pretty good 3-point shooter. I think it's a little much, but again, like Zach, you mentioned, they lost a couple of pieces in Avery Bradley, and Danny Green.
Yes.
So they lost a couple of threats shooting wise. So it's understandable as to why you would need to pay him to keep that threat.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not like with the Clippers paying Marcus Morris an absurd amount of money. Yeah,
that's true.
So what do you guys think the chances of the Lakers getting Giannis?
Wow, we're going here again?
I just want a quick answer. What's your yes or no prediction?
I was more certain about it, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago or a month ago when we talked about it extensively. I'll go 50-50.
Yep.
I think it's... I still think that is a very real possibility for him to go to the Lakers. I'm not there yet, though. I'm not as convinced as I was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I think is also not as convinced as we were a month ago? The Lakers front office.
Yeah,
I think they're bringing in a bunch of these key players because they're like, you know what? Do we really need Giannis? Do we really need to give all this money if we can make a team that is superb without having to spend out on a max level contract for a player? Like, I mean, there's no doubt Giannis is one of the best players in the league, but would he really be a better fit in the Lakers than the team that they have now with, you know, respect to the opportunity cost regarding his contract versus weighing the contracts of these players? And, you know, I'd say it's a little less than 50-50 for me. I'd put it for maybe like 25% he goes to the Lakers. I think the Lakers are willing. They're like, you know, they realize they can win without him, and I think they're going for it too. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Anthony Davis said he would take a pay cut in order to bring in top prospects. Obviously, probably referring to Giannis. even though he hasn't officially
signed, but he will.
He also announced he would take a pay cut for the Lakers to get top prospects. But anyways, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I'd be kind of repeating myself if I talked about what you guys talked about, but I mean the Lakers, the new players they brought in, the ones they kept. I mean the team chemistry last year we saw, big team chemistry guy, but I mean, it looks great. It looks great on the books. It looks great on the floor. So I'm excited. This is like my career right here. but I'm loving it. I'm loving the widespread talent. Like, they have shooters, they have defenders,
they're handlers. Good at everything.
They're so diverse on the field, on the court. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah, so I do want to ask you guys a hypothetical question, because you did bring up Giannis, but before I do, you're adding the guy who won Sixth Man of the Year and the runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them averaged almost 20 points a game.
Yep.
And you're adding that to LeBron and AD. This is like one of the only LeBron teams that I can think of to where LeBron could like sit like 10 games out and they could still maybe win like 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
Without problem.
Without, you know, easy. Yeah, because when LeBron retires, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows when?
Yeah.
If he retires.
Yeah.
And you have a core of Montrezl Harrell, Anthony Davis, and Dennis Schroeder. That's pretty good.
That is.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And even right now, if you took LeBron off the team, they, for me, would still be a middle-of-the-pack playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and they brought in Wes Matthews. He's going to give you what Danny Green did, but for a lot less money. And I do want to talk about the defensive fit with Montrezl Harrell, because there's been a lot of people talking about his defense recently. He's not a great defender. I think giving him about, you know, average would be generous.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when he was on the Clippers, the dude's only 6'7 or 6'8 feet tall. He's a very undersized center. He's extremely athletic. He's extremely strong. But when you're going up against 7-footers and you're only 6'7, 6'8 feet tall, it's extremely tough. But the beauty is, when he's on the Lakers, he's not going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
So, because you're going to have Marc Gasol. I mean, he's a big 7-footer, very intelligent defender. He's not the shot blocker that Dwight or JaVale was, but he's a very good defender. And then, of course, you got Anthony Davis, who is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Montrezl Harrell, if you're asking him to guard guys his size, with his athleticism, I don't think he'd have a problem at all.
He'll dominate a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just when you're asking him to guard guys like Nikola Jokic and Anthony Davis when he was on the Clippers, that's when he gets into trouble. So I think he's, because of how athletic he is, he will be a good defender for the Lakers. And KCP, like you touched on, Josh, he's a decent three-point shooter. The one thing that worries me with his contract and why I would prefer them to keep Avery Bradley is if KCP's three-point percentage goes down, his contract value goes down too, because very similar to Danny Green. If that area of his game goes down, because that is so much of what's getting him money, is his three-point shooting.
Absolutely.
So that his value can go down very easily if he reduces down to, you know, 35-36%. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it is possible. And Keith Morris, he was a very instrumental piece for the Lakers. I think getting him on a one-year veteran minimum, extremely, extremely smart deal. And like I said before, which Morris brother would you have? The one making veteran minimum or the one making $64 million? I'll take Markeith.
Yeah,
so.
I'm right there with you.
Value for money. Yeah, the value is just insane right there.
Okay, so my hypothetical question for you guys. Last offseason, the Lakers had a chance to sign Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And this coming offseason, if Giannis hits the open market, they're going to have a chance to sign Giannis. Do we think that the team that they have now would be better than either the Kawhi team or the Giannis team?
I think the team they have now would be better than the Kawhi team.
Oh, but not. What about the Giannis one?
The Giannis one, I don't know.
Okay.
Because Giannis is arguably the best player in the league.
No, he's not. Come on, dude.
I said arguably.
Yeah, no, there's no argument. Come on.
I don't think so.
I don't. He's not even better than AD. Come on, man.
Top 5.
I'm going to let it stand.
Top 5.
Let the record show.
All right.
Let the record show.
He's not the best player
in the game. I
said
arguably
the
best.
Well, I don't really think
arguably
it's arguable,
could
but...
be called top 3. All right? Okay? All right.
Okay.
Top 4.
Okay. All right. You have a 4?
I might have him at 5.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Kawhi, KD, AD, and LeBron.
Yeah. I'll take all 4 of those over
Giannis.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But
barring health with KD.
Okay. Yeah.
But
consistency, I don't know with KD. But healthy, yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, I'd have him higher. Me personally, I'd have him higher. We've had this discussion.
We have.
Is this current Lakers team better than the Giannis team? Honestly, I think that they would be. And I think the Lakers realized, we don't need Giannis to win. We just won a championship. We can get better. And they just got a lot better. So, you know what? the three superstars would be great, but I think honestly the NBA really comes down to having a good bench production, which they have definitely improved on. And I mean, you look at their starting lineup, right? I think it's going to be something else. You're going to have Schroeder. You have Schroeder, LeBron, Davis, Montrezl Harrell, Kuzma. I mean, there's so many pieces you could throw in there. You can interchange. It's ridiculous.
So what would you think would be the starting lineup? Because obviously, both Dennis Schroeder and Trez Harrell, they both came off the bench.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do we think they start for the Lakers?
I think Harrell does for me. What do you think?
Well, it would be either Harrell or Gasol starting at the five feasibly, right?
Yeah.
I would think, yeah. That is, you know, I mean, the thing is when you have 2 6 men of the year on the same team, one of them is probably going to have to start when you think about it.
Well, I mean, they could start both of them.
You could.
I'm not sure they will.
At least one of them would have to start, you know.
Yeah.
You would think. Now, I mean, five spot, I could see Gasol running the starting there, and then I could see Davis at the four, LeBron at the three, or LeBron at the one, honestly.
Well, yeah, but he'll be their point guard, but he's not going to defend point guards.
Yeah. We'll have Schroeder as one of the guards, and then you could also have Kuzma as one of the guards as well. I mean, this could be a big team. I mean, KCP could also start.
KCP's making so much money. I don't think he's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
No.
It's so tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're
Frank Vogel. I mean, you got a great problem.
Yeah, it's a very good problem to have. I think Gasol probably starts because AD doesn't like playing the five. And yeah, I know you could say Montrez is going to play the five, but because he's undersized, I don't think I don't think that they'll play together in like crunch time. I think their crunch time lineup will have Dennis, KCP, well, maybe not KCP. KCP or Wes Matthews,
mm-hmm.
LeBron, Montrez, and AD. I think that's pretty, but yeah, it's a good problem to have. You don't know what their starting lineup is going to be. And you touched on Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma goes from being a guy who's expected to be the third best player on the team to now maybe the fifth or sixth, depending on how much you like Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you laugh, but I'm serious.
Yeah.
He's a good player. So,
I think having Gasol at the five opens up Anthony Davis's game because he doesn't have to cover the height deficit that Harrell would bring in the five spot.
He also stretches the floor because he can shoot.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
But
all right. So I feel like these grades are going to be very similar. So if we wanted to give a grade to Lakers offseason, what would you give?
A plus. Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was going to go C.
Oh, okay. That was interesting.
For the Lakers. I think it was great, but, you know, it's. They could have gotten, you know, Michael Jordan in his prime. You know, time
for
they haven't figured that out yet. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, do we think they're going to win the title again?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do.
They won it this year. I was a gamble, man. I put my money on the Lakers. Well,
if you think about it, the Lakers won the title last year. If the Lakers team this coming year played against last year's team.
Yeah.
The depth would just take over the game.
Exactly. That's the thing. So. This might be the deepest team LeBron's ever been on.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Also, one thing I wanted to talk about. This team, if you think about it, could change LeBron's end of his career.
Yeah.
How long he plays. With such depth, it could lengthen out his career because he doesn't have all the pressure from playing every minute.
So, since you bring that up, I kind of want to throw this question out there. Do we think, because I don't see LeBron retiring as a role player, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as in, like, he's going to be good forever. I mean that as in, when LeBron is, like, still a top five player in the league, I think he'll retire.
Yeah, he's going to retire. Really.
I don't think he's, do we see him being like Tim Duncan, taking like $10 million a year to come off the bench?
No.
Like, I just don't, when he's like 43.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. So, you're right. This team definitely could change because the depth, he doesn't have to play as much.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he could maybe play like 30 minutes a night in the regular season.
Yeah.
So
just like he said, like even joking around, he's like, I got Anthony Davis to run the floor for me. But yeah. not really joking around.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
The depth. But just like you said, I feel like he's just so much of that, I mean, Mamba mentality that he just mm-hmm. wants to be a beast.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like he would come off the bench and continue, lengthen out his career just to be a bench player.
Even if he's 43.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which he easily could do. But anyways.
He could play with the son of the Lakers, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I know we didn't talk about it too much, but the other important thing about this was if you're Rob Pelinka and the Lakers, you showed Anthony Davis that when LeBron retires, you're not going to be stranded.
Yeah, you are good to go.
You still have a very good team around you.
Yeah.
That is if they do extend Harrell and Schroeder. But if Giannis isn't coming, I think they will.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
you either get Giannis or you get to keep the players that give you depth. So
yeah.
Both ways, you're looking good.
Because the last thing you want to do is Anthony Davis is like LeBron retires and Anthony Davis is... What am I looking at here?
Yeah, exactly.
What team do I have here? But now, like we talked about, Schroeder, Harrell, and Anthony Davis, I still think right now would be a mid-tier playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So
exactly. And that's without bringing on young players or even veterans to come back, you know? So, like, so many opportunities for the Lakers. They've helped themselves a lot. Mm-hmm. Just like the Thunder down the road. But, yeah.
All
right.
Different topic.
So,
Do we want to... I think we can wrap up our breakdowns there and move into our predictions for the NBA standings.
Yep. Based on all the free agent signings that we've had so far, these are our predictions for where we think the playoffs are going to be next year for the NBA.
Yep.
I guess we want to start with the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Who wants to go first?
Hey, go ahead.
All right.
Start us off. Yeah.
I'll start it off, I guess. So first place in the East, they got the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm just going to run down.
Yeah, go ahead.
Second, I got Boston Celtics. If you guys stop me if you guys, you know, are like, what are you doing?
Okay, all right.
Third, I got the 76ers.
Okay.
Fourth, I got the Nets. Fifth, I have
okay, that's... All right.
Everyone pause.
Time out, okay. Well, why do you have the Nets so low? I know we've talked about the Nets before, but...
My main concern is their chemistry.
Okay.
And... I just think that there's a lot that could go wrong with this team. And when you look at the Bucks, the Celtics, 76ers, they all have like strong leadership. They've all got solid chemistry. And I side with that a little bit ahead of the Nets. I know that I say the Nets have a higher potential, a higher ceiling, I'd say, than the Celtics. But that ceiling doesn't necessarily correlate to performance all the time. That's my logic with having them four. I mean, they could easily jump up, you know, to two or three. Fifth, I have the Heat. Sixth, I have the Raptors. Seventh, I got the Pacers. And then eighth, I got the Hawks sneaking in right at the end. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christian, you want to go ahead?
Oh, man. Okay. So I did a lot of hot takes, obviously. I got the Bucks. Okay.
Very hot.
Very
all right. Hot. It's going to get hot. It's going to get steamy in here.
It's getting hot in here.
Okay, so we got the Bucks. Then we got the Nets. And then, of course, pretty not very hot take, but I got the Heat S3. Okay.
Okay.
Respectable, right. But a little bit questionable. But I'm taking it.
So you think they're better than the Celtics?
I think so.
Well, they beat them a 7 game. Regular season, though, I don't know.
Regular season, I don't know. Finals, I think. Hopefully Butler shows up again. Bam, the hero.
Yeah.
But then I got the Celtics.
Okay.
Then I got the 76ers.
Okay.
And then I got Raptors. And then I wanted to put the Hawks, but I put the Pacers. Just because I want to keep them in there. They're going to drop, but they're not going to drop out. And then insanely hot take, just because they're local, the Hornets.
I think LaMelo Ball.
It's possible.
I like the Hawks better in the situation in the playoffs than the Hornets, but I chose Hornets because... I don't know why.
I could see it happening. I actually could see the Hornets making it, but the Hawks would have to like massively underperform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some injuries
The Hornets would have to overperform as well.
I still don't. The Hawks might score 120 points a game, but I don't know if they're going to play any defense.
Yeah.
If
all their players are on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it could happen.
Yeah. And then the Hornets, they have good prospects that just need to produce. They got Malik Monk. They got PJ Washington. They got Nick Richards. They got all these good guys. You know, a 7-footer Nick Richards. But they just have to perform. And they could be good if they do perform. You know?
Yeah.
And of course, LaMelo. But anyways. Zach, what do you got?
Also, Gordon Hayward just got picked up.
He needs to thank his agent very much so. I don't know how he got 4 years, $120 million.
I'm glad he did.
Oh, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I think he can play, but that's a lot of money you're giving him. Wow. But so I have Milwaukee 1, Brooklyn 2, Philly 3, Boston 4, Miami 5, Toronto 6, the Hawks at 7, and then the Pacers at 8.
Okay.
So I think we all actually have pretty similar. Standings here.
Yeah, I mean, if you break it down into, say, like 1 to 3, your top tier teams.
Yeah.
Then you got 4 to 6, and then 7, 8 wants to sneak in. Yeah, it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
I think I have the Nets lower than both of you guys, but.
Yeah, I think the. When we talked about him earlier, I kind of was iffy, kind of like you were, Josh. I'm starting to come around a little bit more to them. Joe Harris can really play.
Mm-hmm.
Dinwiddie can really play. There's just a lot of talent on that team. I think they could sleepwalk to the second seed just off talent.
Yeah.
Obviously, chemistry matters, but we saw with the Clippers, you know, they got at the 2 seed and they did that with like zero chemistry and all talent. So
yeah, that's a very solid point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to segue into the I'd say the more, this one was a little more strenuous in the Western Conference.
Tougher. Yeah.
This is a lot harder to figure out. A lot of good teams, man. Okay, so here's my standings for the Western Conference. Number one, Phoenix Suns. I'm kidding.
Anyways.
No, so number one and number two, I got the Los Angeles teams. I got the Lakers at 1, Clippers at 2. Clippers, like we said, you know, they didn't have a great offseason, but I still think that they're probably the second best team.
Yeah.
3, I have the Mavericks, which I have them coming up to the 3rd spot because they were only a game behind the 4th seed. And only like two games behind the third spot. And Luka Doncic is an absolute insane player. Dude is so
my
good.
MVP.
Exactly. Your MVP. I could totally see him in 3 spots. So 4th, I got the Denver Nuggets. 5th, I got the Rockets. 6th, I got the Utah Jazz. 7th, I have the Damian Lillard Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
And finally rounding out the standings. This was tough. Usually the last spot is not tough to figure out.
Yeah.
But this time it was. And I'm going with the Phoenix Suns, sneaking into the playoffs. So, Christian, what do you think, man? What do you
have? I got the Lakers. Then I got the Clippers. Then I got the Mavericks. So, same top three.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm rocking with, I got to say, I'm going to go with the Rockets. All right.
Where?
And 4.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I got the Rockets. Then I got the Trailblazers. Then I got the Suns. All right.
So Suns at 6?
6, okay.
Sorry, yeah, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Sorry.
And then the Nuggets.
Whoa. That's very low.
It's low for sure.
Okay.
And then sneaking in there very last, I got the Warriors.
Wow.
Yep.
I can see that.
I'm surprised you have the Nuggets so low.
Yeah, that's very low.
I do have the Nuggets very low.
They got your boy Jamal Murray, man.
They do. They showed some good life. I'm reconsidering my decision. but Zach, what do you have?
Well, at number one, I do have the Lakers.
Oh, that's
2, Clippers. 3, I got the Trailblazers.
All right.
Well, if you want me to explain, I can. They're healthy. They're a regular season team. And they got Robert Covington, which very, very good 3-and-D player. He helps their defense out a lot. They brought back Melo. I do think that this team's going to be a lot better than, I mean, they showed in the bubble, apart from that first round against the Lakers. They're a very, very good team. So if they're healthy, because that was the thing last year, they weren't healthy.
Yeah.
So if they're healthy, yes, 3 is a big jump, but I do think it's very possible because, you know, like you've touched on a million times, Josh, it is so close between 3 to 7, 8. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, it'll probably be a game between those teams.
Yeah. So for 4, I have the Mavericks. 5, I've got Denver. 6, I've got Houston, which I'm begrudgingly putting them in because I kind of want them to miss the playoffs because I'm not sure they're going to have James Harden or Russell Westbrook. 7, I have Golden State. And then sneaking in at the 8 spot, I do have the Suns.
Okay, yeah.
So
Golden State, that's an interesting take. You guys both had them in the playoffs.
Yep.
To touch on it, they lost Klay Thompson out for the year.
That's tough.
That's a huge loss for them.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before. I think healthy, they're the second best team in the league, or not? Well, maybe league. I think they're second best team in the West, at least. Yeah. And losing Klay Thompson, obviously, what's the saying? Like, the worst things happen to the best people. I mean, that's my heart dropped whenever I heard that news, and that's tough. But they did have, or they did add Kelly Oubre. They did draft James Wiseman. Mm-hmm. So, and Stephen Curry's going to come back healthy, and they got Andrew Wiggins, which he might be a little bit of a flake, but he has talent. So, I think they sneak in. I don't think they're going to make any noise in the playoffs, but I do think they sneak in.
Yeah.
So,
because I guess what that match would be Warriors-Clippers, Clippers, then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him stealing a game or two from them.
Yeah, I had Utah falling out.
Okay.
And I guess I had the Suns coming in for them.
Mm-hmm.
The West was so tough.
It was really tough
because it was, I didn't know who to, because if I would have had Houston out, I would have had Utah in. And Houston, I think, could easily miss the playoffs if they trade their guys, but they could also be like the 2 seed.
Yeah, if they keep them. Yeah, exactly. They keep them,
so.
Yeah, this one was tough.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I didn't have the Warriors in the playoffs, but they could easily have been the 9 seed slipping in for the Suns, because you never know how that's going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, the West was significantly tougher than the East. I think the East is like, once you hit the 9 seed, you're like, oh, this is a step down.
Yeah,
for sure. This is rough, but the West is tough, and it's always been. I mean, the West dominates in the All-Star game, or it used to, and then they changed it because they got too rough.
Yeah, it got so unfair.
Yeah,
but
so a question I want to ask you guys, and similar to the Celtics, I know we didn't talk about it with the Celtics because they lost Gordon Hayward, and we were talking a little bit off air, Josh, that we think it's kind of addition by subtraction.
Yeah,
because those shots that Hayward was taking are now going to go to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
So similar to with Denver, they lost Jeremy Grant to the Pistons, kind of a big deal because he was a very important player for them in the playoffs. But this means Michael Porter Jr. is going to have a much more or much bigger responsibility on the team. Do we think he takes the jump?
What do you think, Josh?
I like Michael Porter Jr. Christian, you're shaking your head, but I really like him. I mean, he showed flashes. I mean, the main thing with him is his health. Can he stay healthy enough? And this dude. Yeah. I mean, he can play. You know, back in Missouri, he really didn't. We didn't see a whole lot because he was injured. He did have
played, I think, 2 games, 3 games.
He was on his literally less than Kyrie Irving played at Duke, which is crazy. Does he make a jump? I think him getting more minutes and more playing time. I think he'll step up. I think he will. Yeah. What do you think, Christian?
All right, I hope he does. I hope him a great career. I hope he stays healthy because haven't seen much from him yet. If he's healthy, I think he does. He needs to stay healthy. Also, it'll be a good experience for him, the extra minutes and everything. Obviously, great player in high school when we got to see him play a lot more consistently than most recently. College, of course, we didn't get to see him consistently. But obviously, with the minutes coming and heading his way, we will see him consistently. And I think he will. I think he'll prove himself. And I hope he does. But yeah. That's my take.
He's extremely good offensively, but he is terrible defensively.
Yeah.
Like, he was hard to watch on defense in the playoffs. There's no question about his talent. Do I think he becomes a star? Maybe at some point. I'm not sure he's there yet, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I had Denver falling. I think Jeremy Grant, I mean, he's a 3-and-D wing, and that's what they're going to need from Michael Porter, but he's all 3 and no D, so he doesn't play any defense. So, that's a big part of why I had Denver falling was because they're losing Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
So,
I think we all had him falling down a little. I think Christian had him at 6 or 7, which was really low. But yeah,
I don't know if they're going to fall that much.
They are. Okay.
Okay. Stress maybe. Could happen.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, do you guys have any other topics you want to cover for the podcast? Anything you want to mention?
I think so.
All right. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Just want to, again, plug our Twitter. our Instagram, all our social medias, Late Night Sports Talk. I believe our Twitter handle is at L Sports Talk. Instagram, yep. If you look up at Late Night Sports Talk. Shoot us some questions you guys might have. Might answer them on the podcast in the future. We'd love to hear from you. And always, have a good night. Thanks for tuning in.